All right, well, we are wrapping this series up, Love, Sex, and Dating. I just want to give a shout out to all the married people. We want to say thank you so much for letting us do this for the last 3 weeks. We think it is so important to set single people up for success in their future relationships, and so we just want to say thank you for letting us just take this time and really pour into them and speak to their hearts. This whole series is really based on this one idea or this one question, and Justin's been kind of pounding this the last 2 weeks. It says, are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? Not if I can find the right person, right? We talked about this right person myth week one, where it's like all of a sudden you find them and you stumble into this restaurant and the stars and the planets align and the sun is shining on them and you're like, how have I gone my whole life without, you know, it's like that doesn't exist, that is the right person myth, and we kind of debunked that the first time. This whole thing, though, is really just a process, and we've said instead of looking for the right person, why don't you try becoming the right person, and eventually you'll probably run into the right person. And so we've been just given this the whole time. Are you becoming who the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you becoming who the person you are looking for is looking for? And as we wrap up this series, I'm going to bring you to one central idea. I'm going to bring you to one central thought. And then I really want to leave you with just a ton of applications. And leave it as if I were you. If I was in your situation again, if I was single, and if I was going through this, how would I go about things? And so I'm going to kind of give you one central idea, and then we're going to go through just a whole bunch of application and apply this to our single life and to our future marriage. You guys ready to do it? You guys ready? Okay. All right. Okay, all right. Every single Saturday all over the country, in every single city, everywhere, in Alamogordo, in every city, all over the country, people get married. And girls get dressed up in this white dress, and they look absolutely beautiful. And guys get dressed up in this tux, and they look super good looking. And ladies, just to pause there, a reminder, this is the best they'll ever look, okay? This right here. This is why you take a lot of pictures. This is why the guy's like, do we have to take any more pictures? And the lady's like, of course we do, because I need to remember that you're there somewhere, right? This is what you can look like. And so all over the country they do this. They stand at an altar, an exchange ring. A pastor says, repeat after me, right? And every single Saturday, single people all over the country make vows that they cannot keep. And they don't do it on purpose, right? I mean, they don't do it on purpose. They mean well. They're not lying on purpose. But it's just something that they can't commit to. And 5 or 6 months, a year down the road, and they're like, man, this is hard. Like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought it was going to be a lot smoother than this. Like, this is hard. And they start fighting, and they start arguing, and they start having commitment issues. And the reason this happens is because they were not prepared to do it. The reason this happens is they weren't prepared to do it. The reason they were not prepared is because they overlooked a very simple principle. It's a principle that you and I, without knowing it, we kind of know this principle. But this is the principle right here. Promises are no substitute for preparation. The promises are no substitute for preparation. Has anyone ever ran like a really long race? Not like a 5K, because you could probably run a 5K without trying, but like a marathon. Anybody ever done like a marathon or even like 10 miles? Anybody ever ran 10 miles? A few of you. How many of you guys know it's not just about signing up, right? Like, just because you sign up and start the race, it doesn't mean you're going to finish the race, right? Like, it's all about the preparation. Like, people who run marathons, they're, like, preparing for a year in advance. They're running, and they're figuring out their times. They're trying to get better and better, and they're building up their body. It all comes down to if you prepared or not for it. And this is true in every realm of life. I mean, if you're taking a test or SATs or anything, you can promise to get a certain score, right? But if you didn't prepare for the test, how well are you really going to do, right? I mean, you can promise, but when it comes to relationship, for some reason, people think they can promise their way past zero preparation. They think they can just promise their way past zero preparation. And just because you say, I do, doesn't make you able. Just because you say, yes, I do, I promise. Yes, I do, I'm going to keep my commitments. Yes, it doesn't make you able. It doesn't make you capable. It just makes you accountable. It just makes you accountable. When you're accountable for something you're not capable of doing, it makes you miserable. This right here, this statement right here is why so many people, people's marriage ends in divorce. It's why so many people, you talk to them, and they're like, oh, the old ball and chain, right? It's just, ugh. It's because they've been held accountable for something that they're not capable of doing, and so they are miserable. They're miserable. Have any of you guys ever heard Ron White when he talks about how he got arrested for public intoxication? You guys ever heard that? He says, I had the right to remain silent. I did not have the ability to, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I had the right to remain silent, I had the ability to. And every Saturday, people make promises. They just don't have the ability to pull it off, do they? They just don't have the ability to pull it off. And when it comes to marriage, I'm going to make a statement. I want you guys to hear me because some of you guys are going to go, what? When it comes to marriage, commitment is way overrated. Commitment is way overrated. Maybe you're thinking like, I stayed my whole, like I'm married because of commitment. That's the only reason I'm married still, right? Is that committed? But listen. Commitment is way overrated. I've sat with lots of couples in counseling, lots of couples. And when we got married, you promised me and you said that this was going to, and you were going to change. And I thought you were going to be different. And you told me you'd never treat me like that. And you were, and all of a sudden they're going through these commitment wars, right? It's like if you commit to something you can't do, guess what? The commitment is worthless, isn't it? If you commit to something you can't do, the commitment is worthless. Now, single people, listen to me. I need you to hear me. You're going to allow somebody that you've fallen in love with to convince you that they're different, right? Now, listen. Don't worry about the other times. You changed me, baby. Like, you are so good for me. You don't even understand. Like, I'm not going to be that way anymore once we get married, right? And that their track record doesn't matter. They're going to change when they marry you. Guys, remember this. Promises are no substitute for preparation. Promises are no substitute for preparation. And now is the time to prepare. Right now. You have a ton of time to prepare. You're single. You have the time to prepare to keep those promises right now. And that's what we want to challenge you to do. And I want to challenge you to prepare to commit. Because I think if you prepare to commit, it's highly unlikely you'll marry someone who hasn't prepared as well. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you'll have prepared, and so you know what prepared looks like. And when you meet that person who's like, I want to get married, and you're like, I don't think so, right? You haven't prepared. I can tell you haven't prepared. Why? Because I've prepared. I know where I'm at, and I know where you're at, and you haven't prepared, and I'm prepared. So I want to look at some scripture this morning. It's in the Old Testament. It's from the wisest man to ever live. His name is Solomon, and he speaks directly to this idea of preparation. We're going to look at two verses, and maybe these can kind of become a pillar for you. That maybe these can be some verses that you kind of hold on to, that you kind of go, okay, these are mine, and I'm going to hold on to these, and I'm going to go back to these, and these are going to remind me where I'm supposed to go and how I'm supposed to live and what I'm supposed to do as I prepare to be the person who I want to marry one day. As you think about committing to the process, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, and this is what it says. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Do you know what a prudent person is? A prudent person is a person who understands that all of life is connected. That everything that they do and everything that they, everywhere that they go and all the little things and the decisions they make, that eventually they build up on themselves and they build on each other and they might be here, but eventually they know it's going to take them there. A prudent person understands that all of this works together, that they all build on each other and they end up in the future somewhere down the road. It says the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Do you know what ways are? Ways are behaviors or patterns or habits. It's how your parents know what you're going to do before you even do it because you have a certain way about you, right? And this is what Solomon is saying. The wisdom of the prudent person is to give thought to their ways. That they understand, okay, that I understand, if I understand that everything builds on itself and I want to get to here, then my patterns and my behaviors in my habits, they need to be a certain way for me to get to where I'm going. I need to change some of my behaviors. I need to change some of my habits. I need to make sure I do certain things to get to where I want to get to. That's what the prudent person does. The prudent person pays attention to their ways. The prudent person is constantly examining their ways. Is this how I want to live? Is this where I want to get to? Is this the future that I want? Is this what I want to do? That's what the prudent person does. And then he says, but the folly of fools is deception. The folly of fools is deception. The fool pays no attention to their ways. The fool pays no attention to these such things. It's kind of like this idea, like, oh, I'll just figure it out, right? Like, I'll get there. Like, it'll work out. Don't worry. Like, I'll figure it out. And wherever it is, it's going to be awesome. Like, I just can't wait, but it's going to be great. And I'll marry somebody, right? And I don't know who it is, but they're going to be pretty special, right? They're going to be pretty amazing. In this next verse, he goes on to say in 14, verse 15, it says, the simple believe anything. The simple believe anything. Single people, listen. When you fall in love, you'll believe anything. Seriously, you'll believe anything. And you're like, you and your boyfriend have a song, right? But does he have a job? That's the question that we're looking at. It's like, you have a song, but does he have a job? And they're like, well, we don't need money. We have love. And it's like, okay. And you know, you simple people believe anything, right? Pastor John, you don't understand. The other day, I was at Sonic, okay? And I was just there by myself. I didn't tell anybody I was there, and I was just kind of relaxing and just chilling. It's like, God, whatever you, if is this the right person for me? I don't know, and I'm dating this guy. And you'll never know who pulled in right next to me. It was my boyfriend, Pastor John. I didn't tell him I was at Sonic, and I look over, and I'm like, God, is this a sign? Oh, my gosh, it's right here. And then you'll never guess, he ordered a drink, and it was the same drink as me, Pastor John. This is ridiculous. Like, he even got extra cherries. I mean, it was, like, unbelievable. And you're like, well, this is a no-brainer, right? Like, let's get married now. Like, the simple believe anything. It's like sometimes you fall in love, and all sense is gone, right? It's like all sense is gone. And the guy says, or the girl says, like, I haven't done this or planned for this. Here are my terrible habits, right? I mean, here are the things that are just absolutely terrible. But if you marry me, I'll change. Like, this is all that I have. But listen, you're different. I could just feel it. There's something different about it. If you marry me, I'll change. And Solomon is like, guys, that's stupid. Guys, that is stupid. Promises are nothing. It's about the prudent, isn't it? It's not about a promise. It's about the prudent. Teenagers, listen to me for a second. This is why your parents freak out when you bring someone home. This is why your parents freak out when you bring someone home. They're thinking about your future, and you're thinking about a song that you both like. And you're like, but Dad, we have the same initials, right? And he's like, well, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. It's like, come on, right? The simple believe anything. And then he goes on to say this, but the prudent give thought to their steps. The prudent give thought to their steps or to their ways. And you know what I love about steps? And you see that picture in your head of the person who walks on the beach and they can see the steps and where they've been. This is what steps tell you. Steps tell you, when you meet someone, you get to look at their steps and you get to see where they've been. And you know what else steps? They kind of give you a direction of where someone's going, don't they? You get to look at someone's steps and go, okay, that's where they've been, and okay, it's really solid, and that's where they're going, it's really solid. Or man, they've kind of been all over the place. Like, I don't even know if they have a plan. I don't even know if they know what they're doing. This doesn't seem like a very prudent person to me. The paths people choose trump the commitments that they make. The paths people choose trump the commitments they make. You see, it's not a question of what they promise, guys. Listen to me. It's not a question of what they promised. It's where have they been and where are they going? Those are the things that matter, because the past is a better indicator than a promise. The past is a better indicator than a promise. And you might say, man, I know they promised me this and I know they've said this, but all you need to do is look at their past. And you go, I'm not really sure that you've prepared the way you need to prepare. Maybe you need to start preparing a little bit better. Maybe you're like, okay, John, I'm on board, right? I want to become the person who the person I'm looking for is looking for. I want to prepare. Then I want to challenge you to something. I want to challenge you to commit now to becoming someone who can keep commitments later. I want you to commit now to becoming someone who can keep commitments later. Like this right here, this is the goal. If you do this, you'll be set up for success. If you do this, you'll be set up for success. And you don't have to be that person who means well when they get married but doesn't follow through. If you commit now to becoming someone who commits later, that you can start to prepare now to become that person who says, okay, I'm making these promises, but I've prepared to keep these promises. And I'm going to keep these promises because I've prepared to do it. I want to take the rest of my time. We're going to go through some very specific single people assignments. We're going to look at some stuff that if I were you, I would commit to now so that I could keep my commitments later. And I think if you do this, that you'll actually be able to keep them. I think if you start to look at these and you hold on to these, and you have to understand it, this isn't John did everything perfect when he was single. This is me looking back going, okay, if I had an opportunity to redo this. If I had an opportunity to redo this and do it just the best that I could, this is me giving you as much advice as I possibly can. We're going to look at this first one. It's address your unresolved childhood issues before you get married. Address your unresolved childhood issues before you get married. Can I tell you that out of all of the things we talk about, this is probably the biggest one. This is one of the biggest ones that you can talk about. I love what Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott say in their book, Real Relationships. This is what it says. If you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person, every relationship will be an attempt to complete the hole in your heart. I'm going to read it again. If you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person, every relationship will be an attempt to complete the hole in your heart. Can I tell you something? You'll never have more time than right now to work through the stuff that we all have in our hearts, right? That we all carry, all the hurts and all the pains and all the things. And it's the number one thing you can do to prepare yourself for marriage is to become whole and healthy. And a lot of times what we think is we're like, you know, you meet someone, you're like, oh, I had these holes in my heart and I didn't know if they were ever going to leave. But then I met you and you filled them and now I'm perfect and I'm whole and healthy. That does not work. You need to become whole and healthy before you marry the person. You need to become whole and healthy. Otherwise, you'll constantly be looking for people to fill the holes in your heart. And for some of you, just to be honest, that means facing some pretty tough things from your past, doesn't it? That's facing some pretty tough things that you're going to have to walk through and go, well, I don't want to deal with that. I just kind of want to keep it stuffed way down there, right? And for some of you, it's going to have to dig those up and work through those now before you get married. I saw this chart, and it was absolutely amazing. It was very eye-opening. I'm going to show it to you here in a second. And as you look at this, this is you. And this is all of the angst and all of the drama and all of the stuff. And it all came from your parents, right? And, you know, we are all like, Mom, why did you do that to me? I can't believe you do that. And you're like 35 years old and you're still like mad about this stuff, right? And there's all this drama and all this stuff. And you have all this angst and you have all this bitterness and anger and you're mad at them. And how could they treat me like that? And why did they do that, right? And why did this happen? We have all this stuff and this leftover angst and drama with their parents. Before we show the next slide, I need to warn you, okay? If you're married in here, you're going to want, when I show this slide, you're going to want to just look at your spouse. You're going to want to look at your spouse like that, like, mm-hmm, you know what? Don't do that, okay? Do not do that. I am protecting you right now. If you want to have a healthy car ride home, you just look forward, right? You just look forward, and you just, like, I have no idea what he's talking about, sweetie. You just do that. You just look right at me, okay? Just don't break eye contact. This is huge. Single people, this is huge. This is, like, really, 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 really huge. This is what happens when you get married if you don't deal with all of your unresolved drama and junk and stuff from your parents and from your childhood and all the unresolved childhood issues. This is what happens right here. You get married, and guess where all of it goes? It goes right to your spouse. All of the angst and all of the anger and all of the you're on edge all the time and something happens and she says something, he says something, and you blow up. All of a sudden, it's like all of it goes on your spouse. It doesn't go on your parent anymore. And they don't know why you're so upset, and you can't figure out why they don't shape up, and you can't win this. And you're like, all I said was I wanted to be a little early this time, and boom, you know what? It's like, what in the world is happening? And it's like, why are you so mean, and why are you so touchy? And you go to counseling, and lots of months and money later, you finally figure it out, and they're like, oh, this whole time I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at my mama. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. You need to address your unresolved childhood issues before you get married. Single people, this is huge. And if you came from a broken home, or your mom was in and out of the house, or your dad was in and out of the house, right? You've got some of this. It's normal. But deal with it now. Don't take it into your marriage. Deal with it now. Become whole and healthy now. Okay, that's the first one. The next one is, ladies, don't dress like a commodity or put up with being treated like one. Don't dress like a commodity or put up with being treated. If you put up with being treated like a commodity while dating, it's not going to change when you get married. This is a huge thing to understand. If you put up with it while you're dating, it's not going to change when you get married. You should have zero tolerance for being treated like a commodity. You should have zero tolerance for being treated like a commodity. Let's talk about fishing for a minute, because I like to talk about fishing. Do you know how a fisherman decides what bait to use? Do you know how a fisherman decides what bait to use? What he's fishing for, right? It's like, do I want to catch a shark or a salmon, right? Those are two different things. If you fish with your bodies, you're going to catch body snatchers, okay? Listen to me. If you fish with your bodies, you're going to catch body snatchers. And this is true, and you're like, well, you know, like, all men are alike, right? And I get it. Like, men are pigs. Men are terrible. Like, men are, there's a lot of men, not all men, but a lot of men aren't great. And you're like, well, all men are alike. And it's like, no, all the men you date are alike. All the men you date are alike, and all the men you go out with, and all the men who ask you out are alike. And if you think of the last 10 guys that you dated, it's like, you and him, 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 you and him. Like, what's the common denominator there? It's you. You're the common denominator in that relationship, right? And I just want to tell you that God created you, and you are so much more than a body. Can I tell you something? Save the body for later. Save the body for later, right? Don't fish with your body. Fish with your love for God, with your passion for God. That's the way you should be attracting men. That's the way it should happen, right? And we want you to be prepared to keep the promises that you make. We want to set you up for success. We want to help you to keep the promises that you've made. And ladies, let me just tell you something. When you get married, listen. If you caught him with your body, all right, you got to keep him with your body. And I know you're cute now, but you're only getting older, right? You're only getting older. And I'm just saying. All right. Okay. This is having fun. All right, men. That was funny, dude. Okay. Men, this whole erotic imagery, pornography, porn, like, that's just got to stop, right? Like, that just has to stop. Here's what happens. Yeah. Here's what happens. When you look at pornography, when you look at this stuff, what it does is it trains your brain that women are just a commodity. That women aren't people, that they're just a commodity to give you pleasure when you need pleasure. To give you what you need when you need it. And that is not how God created women. God created women as your equal. God created women as they are daughters of the King of Kings. And when he looks at them, he sees their princesses. And when you look at this stuff, if you're addicted to this or you're doing this, it ruins your mind. You know what it teaches you? It teaches you that a real woman is not good enough for you. It teaches you that a real woman is not good enough for you. It teaches you that one woman is not good enough for you. And it teaches you that your wife is not good enough for you. this whole idea, this whole thing, it's been a lie for, and some of you are like, it's just a pastime. Like, it's just, it's not hurting anybody. Can I tell you something? It's hurting you. It's hurting women. It's hurting the way you view women, and it's killing your idea of the way God created and made women. That has got to stop, okay? All right, and the next thing, men, just memorize this entire sermon series as well, okay? All right. The next thing is get out of debt. The next thing is get out of debt. This is huge. Guys, this is huge. I've told people that they shouldn't get married until they get out of debt. I've had that conversation like, you guys do not need to get married until you get out of debt. And then you can get out of debt a lot faster as a single person than a married person, right? You think there's this thought that's like, well, you have a little debt and I have a little debt, but we both have jobs and we get married, we'll just pay it all off. No, the opposite happens. You just go in more debt, right? And you just get deeper in debt. Can you imagine, like, if you got to marry someone and they weren't in debt and they weren't in debt and you weren't in debt? I mean, that would be awesome, right? That you don't have to, this extra financial, like, weight that's laying on you of paying off these bills, that you don't have to worry about that at all. And maybe you're like, well, maybe you're already engaged or you're in a serious relationship. If you two are both here and you can commit to this, imagine how fast, if you're like, man, you know what? We're engaged, but let's not get married. Let's postpone the wedding until we pay off our debt. If you do this, do you know how fast you'll pay your debt off? Like, you will pay your debt off like that. Like, it'll just be paid off. And you're like, wow, that was really fast. Because you will be so excited to get married. And getting out of debt and staying out of debt could save your marriage down the line. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And ladies, listen to me. If there's a guy that's like pursuing you and you're like, I don't know if I want to date you and I don't know, and you're a very prudent person and you know that he has like a ton of debt and you're like, ugh, just tell him, be like, look, if you want to date me, you got to pay your debt off. And I promise you, like, if he really likes you, one or two things, if he doesn't really care, he'll just disappear. And if he likes you, he'll move in with mommy and daddy and pay off his debt, okay? And he'll do whatever he needs to do to get that. If he loves you, he'll do it. And so you need to get the debt paid off. Don't get married until you've paid off your debt. The next one is break your bad habits. Break your bad habits. Marriage wasn't designed to solve your problems. Marriage wasn't designed to solve your problems. The great things get better and the bad things get worse generally, right? It isn't just everything just magically gets better because you found your better half and the way that goes. It's like it doesn't just happen. If you have a bad habit now, then you'll have a bad habit when you get married. If you have a bad habit now, you have a bad habit when you get married. If you drink too much now, guess what? You're going to drink too much when you get married. If you're addicted to something now, it's just going to be worse. If you're gambling thing now, it's going to be worse. If you have a porn thing now, it's going to be worse. If you have a debt thing, a shopping thing now, it's just going to be worse. Break your bad habits now because you already know what they are, right? You already know what your bad habits are. Just break them now. I mean, wouldn't it be great if the person you marry one day broke all their bad habits before they married you? Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm not talking about the little things like the toothpaste roll or squeeze. That's like not a bad habit. That's just obviously you slide it from the bottom, okay? So it's like, it's the big things. It's the bad habits that you have that you need to work through. It's those things that, wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if you got to tell someone, hey, I have zero bad habits. Let's get married. Like, wouldn't that be, I mean, that you've broken your bad habits, that you've worked through that. And seriously, wouldn't that be an amazing gift? That if you said, look, I worked through a lot of stuff because I was a prudent person and I came prepared for this marriage. And I broke a lot of the things that I didn't want in my life that I knew weren't healthy for me. I broke those things. Wouldn't it be great? And here's what happens, though, a lot of times is, you fall in love and you lose all sense, right? And it's like, baby, I'll work on that. Like, don't worry, let's just get married. We love each other. It's like, no. Because I promise you, six months later after you get married, those bad habits, whatever the bad habit was, it's going to be your fault. It's like, are you ever going to stop drinking? Well, I wouldn't drink so much if you weren't. It's like, and all of a sudden, the bad habit that they brought into the marriage is now your fault. And that's what happens. So break your bad habits. All right, next one. Men, memorize this entire sermon series, okay? All right. Sometimes you got to say it multiple times to guys. It's just, it needs to get said. Okay. The next one, postpone the physical component of your dating relationship ASAP, as long as possible. Postpone the physical component of your dating relationship as long as possible. I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about everything. I've never met with someone ever who said, you know, I think it would have been just really healthy for our marriage if we would have just got physical faster in our relationship. Like, no one's ever said that in the history of ever. It just doesn't happen. It's not a thing. Postpone your physical relationship, the component, as long as possible. I think you should put it off for so long that they start to wonder if you're even interested anymore, right? And then when they come around, they're like, so are you, like, into the? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah. I'm just being smart. I'm being a prudent person. Amen? All right? The next, self-control before you're married leads to self-control after your marriage. It's absolutely huge. And a lot of you guys, that answers a lot of questions for you. The self-control before you're married leads to self-control after you're married. You think that because you get married, everything gets better and it just fixes every little thing and they're just going to all have perfect self-control. It doesn't happen that way. If they had self-control before they were married, then they're going to have it after they're married. The last one, and this one was one I kind of went back and forth on, but I think if you can, you need to avoid living together. You need to avoid living together. And I get it. Like, I get it. I'm the preacher. Like, what else am I supposed to say, right? Like, it's like I'm supposed to do that. But let me just tell you this. Do the research for yourself. Do the research for yourself. The percentage is higher for people who get divorced who live together before they get married. The percentage of divorce, the rate is much higher than if they don't live together. And I don't know why that is, but I understand that you're the exception, but this is not the path towards happiness, right? It's not the path toward happiness. And honestly, it's two different perspectives. It's two different perspectives when you move in together. Women move in because it's a step towards marriage, right? And men move in to see if they want to be married. Right, and those are two different thoughts. Those are two different things. And a woman's like, all right, cool. We're one step closer. I'm going to wrap him up and tie him with a bow, right? And a man is like, well, I'll just check it out for a little bit. I'll see what this is like. I mean, this is as close to being married as we can without being married. So I want to see what it's like. And it's like totally different perspectives. And here's the truth, guys. I love you. Justin loves you. We love you. We care about you. We want the best for you as you go into your marriage. And so this is if I were you. The last one is this: non-Christians. If you're here and you're a non-Christian, don't date a Christian unless you plan on becoming one, okay? Don't date a Christian unless you plan on becoming one. And here's why. Because can I tell you, let me just talk to the non-Christians. If you're here and you came with like a date and you came here and they brought you, your boyfriend or girlfriend brought you, let me just tell you, they don't like you for who you are, okay? Now listen to me. It's a bait and switch, and I can prove it. Like, you're here, okay? They brought you here because they need you to get saved, okay? They need you to meet Jesus because their mom is like, does he know Jesus? Does she know Jesus yet? Why are you dating? They need to get the mom and dad off their back, and so they brought you here because they don't like who you are. They need you to become a Christian. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And if you're a non-Christian and you're sleeping with a Christian, like, now they're a hypocrite, right? And you hate hypocrites, but you're in love with one now. And so it's a very frustrating situation for you, and it's a very frustrating place. But I'll just tell you, if you're a non-Christian, don't date a Christian unless you plan on becoming one. This is going to be a frustrating relationship that you have. Here's the bottom line. I didn't get this whole dating thing perfect. I didn't do everything on this list that I'm telling you guys that you should do. Justin didn't do this dating thing perfect, but we want to help you do this right the first or the second time or the third time. We want to help you do it right. We want to give you the opportunity to succeed, and you have the opportunity right now to get it right, to become the person who you are looking for is looking for. You have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to create habits that will change your life forever. Forever and ever and ever. And you know, as we talk about relationships, I can't think of the most important relationship that you and I will ever have. And that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so would you guys stand? We're going to take communion. We're going to wrap this thing up, this whole series up, by taking communion. And it's an amazing thought that Jesus Christ created a way for you and I to have relationship with him when he came down and he died on the cross. And you know, I can't help but think, as we think about relationships and we think about, like, if you're single in here and you're like, when am I ever going to find that person that I'm supposed to marry? And I went to this wedding and this wedding and this marriage and this wedding and this wedding. When is it my turn? Can I just remind you that God sees the big picture? And that some of us, you just want to be married so badly, but there's some things that you need to work through. There's some things that you need to prepare for. There's some things that you need to do in your own heart and in your own life that aren't quite there yet, right? God sees the big picture, and I can only be reminded when he's sitting there with the disciples, and the disciples are like, why are you doing this? Like, what's happening? Like, why are you going to die? I don't understand. Like, why are we here? And God is like, because I see the big picture. I see that the only way that you guys are ever going to get it, the only way that you're ever going to make it is if I die on the cross and take on your sins, and then you can have a relationship with me. There's really no other way. And so Jesus sat there with his disciples, and he held on to his bread. He held on to the bread, and he said, this is my body, right? Take this in remembrance of me. And he broke it and he said, give thanks because I'm about to be broken. God, we love you so very, very much. We thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you that your body was broken for us, God. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to understand that you put yourself in our place, but you did it for us. God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then he took the juice and he said, this is a symbol of my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. God, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that it was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. God, we know our past. We know where we've been. We know everything that we've done. God, when it comes to relationships, we know all the times that we've slipped and fallen and messed up. God, but we thank you that your blood covers a multitude of sin. God, and it puts us in right relationship with you. God, we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pray for you before we go. God, I thank you so much for every single person here. God, for married couples, for single people, God, as they're looking at relationships and trying to figure out who they're going to marry and what it's going to look like. God, I ask right now that you would give them strength to be prudent people, that they would be able to look at their steps and decide where they want to go and who they want to be, and that they would become the man or woman of God that you've called them to be. God, I pray that you would break chains off of them, God, if they have addictions, if they have things that they're dealing with or going through, God, I pray that you would help them walk through it. God, you're here and you want the best for us. God, you see the big picture for those people right now that are waiting and they're like, God, when's it going to be my turn? I pray that you would give them a new goal, not to find the right person, but to become the right person, so that then when they meet that right person, they'll be ready to keep those commitments. God, we love you so very, very much. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We'll see you guys next week. God bless, okay?